like to welcome to the Pod Indie Studio Dr. Jane Lee. Dr. Jane Lee is an interventional radiologist and endovascular specialist with over 15 years of experience. Dr. Lee completed her advanced surgical training in Sydney and her fellowship in London, where she focused on the treatment of venous and arterial disease, cancer, fibroids, and complex liver conditions. She is one of the very few Australians to have been awarded the European Board of Interventional Radiology, which recognises advanced experience, knowledge and skills in interventional radiology on an international level. Today we'll be discussing the topic of pelvic vein conditions. This podcast is brought to you by DPM Financial Services. DPM is a specialist medical financial advice firm that aims to empower doctors of Australia to make the right financial decisions and achieve their financial goals. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Jane, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thank you for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is pelvic vein conditions. Jane, can you first give us a brief overview of common pelvic vein conditions?
Yes, thank you. The two main pelvic vein conditions we see and treat as interventional radiologists are pelvic congestion syndrome in females and varicose seals in males. These two conditions have similar underlying pathologies. They are both caused by refluxing or incompetent gonadal veins, being the ovarian vein and the testicular vein. To put it in simple terms, it's like having varicose veins internally. In our female patients, they can have refluxing ovarian veins or pelvic veins, leading to enlarged parauterine veins, often located in the central pelvis, and sometimes they can be connected to the vulvar veins and also the leg varicose veins. In our male patients, they get dilated varicose veins in the scrotum from reverse blood flow and stagnation of blood in the testicular veins. It occurs in 15 to 20% of all males.
What do patients commonly present with in these vein conditions?
Let's firstly cover ovarian and pelvic vein congestion syndrome. It's a syndrome because the patient can experience a number of symptoms, including back pain, lower abdominal pain or a dragging sensation, radiating pain or heaviness to the vulva region. Pelvic vein congestion syndrome can cause irritable bowel symptoms and sometimes worsen bladder incontinence. They may be associated with visible varicose veins in the vulva, vagina, inner thigh or the buttock region. And often the female patient can present with heavy periods or even anemia after the period. Now moving on to varicose seals, male patients get a dull or dragging pain in the scrotum, worse when they're sitting or putting pressure in the area. They sometimes describe a scrotal mass or swelling, which can be quite alarming and definitely need further investigation. I had a patient who was a policeman who rides horses, in fact, and every time he rode a horse, he was getting heat sensation and more intense pain in the undercarriage, as he described it.
What causes these internal vein conditions?
The cause of the dilated ovarian or pelvic veins in pelvic congestion syndrome is poorly understood. It's commonly occurring in young women and usually in women who have had at least two or three pregnancies. During the pregnancy, the ovarian vein can be compressed by the enlarging womb or enlarged because of the increased blood flow. This is thought to affect the valves in the vein, causing them to stop working or allowing blood to flow in the backward direction. Other causes include hormonal stimulation, and polycystic ovaries. A congenital absence of valves may be a contributing factor. Less common is central vein obstruction, causing a backward pressure on the veins. Similarly, the cause of dilated testicular vein and varicoceles in men is largely unknown. We think there could be a genetic predisposition to leaky valves being the primary contributing factor. Again, rarer causes include deep vein thrombosis in the renal vein, for example, compression of the vein between the aorta and mesenteric artery, which is called the nutcracker syndrome, renal AV malformations, or a thrombosis of the pampiniform plexus. Tobacco smoking has also been linked to this condition.
Are there any serious complications if they are untreated?
Yes, in females, pelvic venous disease can affect their sexual function due to discomfort in the pelvis or the perineal region. They can experience menorrhagia, as we mentioned, during menstrual cycles with heavy bleeding or prolonged bleeding, sometimes resulting in iron deficiency and anemia. In male patients, varicocele can give abnormal semen analysis, a low sperm count, or decreased sperm motility, presenting as subfertility or infertility clinically. In the worst scenario, they could also get testicular atrophy. Interventional radiologists are often refer these patients from urologists for subfertility. The excessive heat and hydrostatic pressure causes injury and stress on the sperm. Hypoxia and increased adrenal steroid production probably play a role. It is thought that the larger varicoceles can eventually cause the testes to fail, and there's a reduction in testosterone levels as well.
How do patients get assessed?
The main assessment of either pelvic venous congestion syndrome and varicocele is by ultrasound. The dilated ovarian vein is harder to visualize because it is deeply located in the abdomen and can be very hard to trace for the sonographer. The right and the left ovarian veins drain very differently into the inferior vena cava on the right and renal vein on the left. Therefore, a special vascular ultrasound would be required to look at these veins and assess them properly for reflux. A vein greater than 6 millimeter is likely to be abnormal and have reverse flow, confirming the presence of pelvic congestion. Importantly, though, a refluxing ovarian vein does not always give symptoms, and we can't call this a syndrome unless patients describe chronic symptoms that we mentioned before. In varicoceles, it's a little bit different. They are a bit more superficial in men and therefore are easier to access and assess with scrotal ultrasounds. The dilated pampiniform plexus veins are positive for diagnosis of reflux if they're greater than 3 millimeter in diameter. The varicoceles can be graded into small, moderate, or large, or they can be graded by their degree of reflux. Special venogram MRI and CT are also very helpful in identifying the dilated veins and also help us work out anatomy to plan out treatment. The most accurate test is angiographic testing, which is an endovascular technique performed by an interventional radiologist, an endovascular specialist, testing each of the possible veins involved by injecting contrast directly into the vein and seeing how the blood flows in the vein under X-rays.
What treatments are available for them?
There are surgical options of laparoscopic abdominal surgery or from an inguinal approach to tie off the dilated veins. In these cases, the varus deferens and testicular artery have to be avoided for a safe approach. And there are obvious side effects such as bleeding, scarring, and post-operative pain. In interventional radiology, we offer an endovascular approach using angiography. The procedure is minimally invasive and involves a very tiny incision in the skin to get into the jugular or femoral vein, and we can then get inside the central veins to assess the gonadal veins. With a fine catheter, we can gain access into the ovarian or testicular vein. And if there is reflux on x-rays, we can proceed to close off these veins, what we call embolization, with metallic coils. We very carefully insert these coils and sometimes also use sclerotherapy at the same time to make sure we get a reliable closure. Embolization of ovarian veins and varicose cells have an 89% success rate. The pelvic veins in females have a very complex network, and there are many variations in the anatomy. The same goes for testicular veins in males. It is therefore best performed by an experienced specialist who have good knowledge of anatomy and the skill to find the culprit veins and avoid a failure in embolization. So in clinical practice, what I often do is perform a very thorough pelvic angiography diagnostic study before committing to blocking off any veins. The complication rate with this endovascular technique is very low. Patients can get a dull ache or pain for 1 to 2 weeks, irregular periods for the first few cycles, but hopefully an overall improvement of their symptoms. Complications such as coil migration and bleeding risk are very, very rare. Patients can usually head home on the same day and return to normal activities within the week.
When should a GP refer?
We find these days many patients are actually very well educated on medical conditions they have, with a wealth of information available on the internet. So it wouldn't be surprising to find that patients approach the GP in practice to ask for a referral or ask about a specific procedure. Therefore, it is a harder job probably for GPs to know the different conditions and treatment options out there to give them the right advice. There is very good and importantly, a very reliable availability of information on our Australian Society of Interventional Radiology website. By typing in the keyword IRSA or IRSA, and it will provide very good information on these new endovascular techniques. There is also easy to understand information for patients to read. Female patients with pelvic vein symptoms such as abdominal pain or menorrhagia, and any relationship also with external varicose veins, for example, vulva, buttock or leg varicose veins, will be suitable for an assessment by an interventional radiologist. Male patients with scrotal pain or swelling should get an ultrasound first, and the diagnosis of varicose cell is made on ultrasound, then they should then be referred to a specialist for assessment and potential embolization procedure. If a GP referrer is unsure, then many of us have direct inquiry emails on our websites and will be very happy to discuss these conditions with them.
Thank you for your time here today in the PodMD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the three key take-home messages from today's podcast on pelvic vein conditions?
The first take-home message would be both male and female patients can get internal varicose veins. They can be connected to the external varicose veins, or sometimes more concerning, manifestations of deep vein issues. Secondly, the two conditions are very similar in pathophysiology due to reverse flow in the gonadal veins or the pelvic veins, but clinically be presenting in very different ways. And thirdly, there is minimally invasive endovascular treatments now available performed by interventional radiologists that can give patients good symptomatic relief.
Thanks again for your time and the insights you've provided.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you.